Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 106.
We're getting to that 10 again.
I totally did not say 105 last time because it was the, like, oh, it's the May 8th weird anniversary thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess we did miss the number last time. Well, 106. This is impossible to listen to.
I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello, and who else are we alongside?
Who's the third man?
Where is he? If you've listened to our Patreon, then you've already met him. However, we do have a co-host.
Yes, he is sniffing around right now under Emily's chair.
I really apologize if you can hear him in this. We've done our best to subdue him, and I just don't want to put him in the grate again. But we have a dog! We got a dog!
Yes, the third man is officially Otto von Ruthless, who Emily has set up an Instagram for.
Yeah, if you want to follow him, his at is Otto _ von Ruthless. He's very cute. He is a Pembroke Welsh Corgi. Just a corgi.
Yes, I've learned that the corgi just isn't a thing.
It has a distinction.
Looking for pet insurance, and I'm like, corgi, and they're like, we don't know what the fuck that is, and I'm like,
Pembroke Welsh Corgi.
Make me do the whole thing.
He's a good boy. He is very curious, very cuddly, very sweet. He's just sniffing, and he's gonna be hanging out with us today.
Yes, we were joking that we were gonna try to make him bark a little bit so you know he's here, but he's not a barker.
He is not. He might kind of like get to a point where he's like rolling around and thrashing where he might bark a little bit.
He's not a promo.
He is not a promo. He's very much a silent presence.
He's a Dean Malenko type.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you may hear some pitter patters a little bit or some nose blowings or
some sniffs.
Yeah. But we are doing our best to keep the sound pure. That said, we are here today to talk about, I mean, these are canon bonus episodes, but these CW shows very much are like our version of bonus episodes.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, they're still in the timeline, and they're still like within, you know, reason. But they're definitely bonus.
Yes, we're here today to talk about ECW Hardcore Heaven 2000. Heaven,
it's a show.
A word I apparently cannot spell correctly. I don't know what it
really?
Is. Only with this. You wanted to end it in AN, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah, we haven't done an ECW show in a little while.
I guess it has been a minute.
Less so than last time. Then a lot more recently than the second to last show.
And I've watched a lot of ECW in the last 24 hours.
Yes.
So I had a really weird moment the other day that I did tweet about on our X. But I had a moment where after work one day, I had to kill some time between work and an event. So I went to the local bar to get some dinner and a beer before I had to go anywhere. So I sat at the bar. And I plugged in my headphones and I decided, you know, this is a good time for me to catch up on some podcast stuff. So I start watching this show and I'm taking notes. And I'm struggling to connect to the Wi-Fi or get my hotspot to work. So it's kind of cutting in and out. And the connection cuts out. So I take my headphones out. I start playing with it. And then from across the bar, I hear ECW, ECW. And I start panicking because I'm like, somehow the Apple gods are against me. Somehow I am casting onto this TV because there's no fucking way that this nothing little bar is playing an ECW show. Like, I could not fathom it. So I plug my headphones back in and I press the play on the show. It finally loaded and mine went, but I could still hear the ECW chants around the bar. So like, I close all my stuff and I just like go for a little walk. On the other side of the bar, the bartender is watching ECW November to Remember.
Yes, I feel like you've encountered them watching wrestling in this bar before.
Yes, but it was modern wrestling. It was like SmackDown or Raw or whatever. It was like a show that a normal person would be watching. A rip of ECW from 2000, I would never expect to find that in the wild. Now, so I tell the bartender what happened. I'm like, you're never going to believe me when I tell you what's happening right now. And he's like, I'm getting off my shift in 20 minutes. Can I come sit next to you? And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Let's watch the show. So I just watched November to Remember with this guy.
I'm realizing right now you're living your dream. You're being stared at by both a cute dog and Scott Norton.
I do have a frame for him. It's time to put him on the wall.
See, it would be even more crazy if you hear ECW chants and you hear the actual you know, non-copyrighted music.
Yeah, I did kind of talk to the guy about that too. But it was really weird because I was watching this first, this one match that they were playing, and it was C.W. Anderson, who I only knew existed from this show that we were about to review.
He was on the last show.
I'm sure he was, but this was the first one that I really acknowledged his presence. So I saw C.W. Anderson. I'm like, I know you. Why do I know you?
For someone who's known for not knowing wrestlers, I don't know if C.W. Anderson's the one you're like...
Well, because I was just watching him on my iPad at the bar. Like, it was just a surreal moment, so shout out. I don't even remember the guy's name. I think his name is Brandon. Brandon at Fishheads, shout out.
So before we get into the show, let's talk about the state of ECW at this point in time, because it is May 14th, 2000. It's Mother's Day, which we accidentally watched this show on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day, yeah.
And by the way, if you've seen the Rhino clip and you go, is that this show? Yes. Yes, it is. Because I was wondering the same thing, waiting for Rhino to show up. But yeah, the company financially is not doing great, which is kind of just a statement to ECW as a whole.
Sure. I mean, we know that they're on their way down too. Like, we know they're about to die.
Yeah, I mean, they don't die that much sooner than
a little bit, though.
Yeah, and ironically, for virtually the same reason.
Money.
Yes and no. We'll get to that at the end of this. So our backstage notes, Raven, who is employed by ECW, is probably leaving soon. He is. They like want to release him because they're like, we know you're leaving. I don't want to do anything with you.
Yeah.
So they're trying to like kind of buy him out of a bit of his contract. But he's like, no, you can keep paying me. He debuts, it's either at SummerSlam or Unforgiven in WWF. The only reason he's not there right now is when he got his release from WCW. They're like, you can go anywhere besides the WWF.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Because he was the one that actually had the balls to do the... if anybody wants to leave, there's the door. And he got up and they're like, oh, okay.
In WWF?
In WCW. Eric Bischoff pulled a, if you don't want to be here, you can leave.
He's remember that story. I just forgot which company it was.
Herd Chef.
Roger that. See ya.
Super Crazy. I think he was supposed to be in the show, but unfortunately he's having visa issues.
Oh.
He won't be back until like November, unfortunately.
Jeez. What kind of issues is he having?
I don't know that process. Me either. It's just a weird thing. ECW is suing Sabu for breach of contract for showing up at another wrestling show.
You know, I don't know the process, but I'm wondering if... I know that Paul Heyman was, like, notorious for not paying his wrestlers on time. So I'm wondering if... Was it Super Crazy?
Yes.
So I'm wondering if Super Crazy could not prove employment because he didn't have pay stubs, which made the visa process kind of, like, fall back. Maybe.
Super Crazy has to get into fucking tape trading to be like, no, here, I'm on this show. My God. But yeah, Sabu wrestled for another promotion. He's technically under contract at ECW, but he hasn't wrestled for them since January. So
Jeez. He
does not come back until the reboot.
Really?
Yeah.
He's gone until 2005?
Six. Or I guess he's... Yeah, I think he's on the 2005 show. I don't have that card to memory like some people do.
That's fine.
And then in the big story of why ECW is struggling... TNN, the network that ECW is on, apparently it's the Nashville network, is actively negotiating with Vince McMahon and WWF to bring Raw to TNN.
Does that ever happen?
Yes.
Really?
Happens in September.
Ooh.
So they are actively negotiating with WWF, and ECW is like, well, cool, if you get them, we know you're going to dump us. ECW is not allowed to negotiate with other channels because that's a breach of contract.
What the fuck?
So...
TNN is just letting them drown.
Yeah, they don't. Oh, by the way, they like don't advertise ECW at all. They make ECW promote the other shows.
Wow.
Despite ECW being their highest rated show.
Jeez.
In a few weeks, Paul Heyman is going to cut his infamous "I dare you to throw me off the air."
Oh.
He's like, "This, my friends, is a shoot. We hate this stinking network."
Oh my God.
It's a good promo, but apparently the first time it airs, it gets censored.
Well, no kidding.
And there's like a little like subtitle thing of like, we apologize for Paul Heyman's temper tantrum.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They're really trying to bury this.
Yeah,
but TNN, what are they doing these days? Nothing.
I don't know if they've like been really converted to being a different channel or not, but yeah, they get Raw for a little bit. And I want to say Raw goes to Spike for a little bit because I know there's the big homecoming episode where I've showed you the clip of Steve Austin stunning every member of the McMahon family and you were like, bring out Linda. And then she came out and you're like, oh my God.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's them going back to the USA. I think they're on Spike for a little bit. So maybe TNN becomes Spike for all I know. I don't know.
Maybe.
Editor's note, this is in fact the case. TNN became Spike TV.
I'm wondering, was Raw ever on Sci-Fi or was that just SmackDown?
Neither. That was really? WWE CW.
Was on Sci-Fi?
Yes.
Jesus.
Because that's why they're like, we want the zombie. We want all these sci-fi characters. Oh. Yeah.
Sci-Fi Channel did not really have science fiction shows, though. Not really.
But did it have double features?
No, definitely not.
Well, shit.
I say that, and the only show that I can think of that was on Sci-Fi is a show called Supernatural. So, maybe I'm wrong.
So, Emily, do you want to get into ECW Hardcore Heaven?
Might as well.
Like I said, the show takes place on May 14th, 2000 from The Rave in the Eagles Ballroom in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ironically, recording this on May 14th.
No. Oh.
Watched it on Mother's Day, recording it on May 14th. What is happening? This show has so many parallels. It's really weird.
3,400 in attendance. I want to thank, I did not look up his name, a random Reddit user for helping me use the Wayback Machine to find the ECW pay-per-view stats on OSW site, because OSW site used to be the only place to actually find like the whole list of ECW pay-per-view buys.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the site got hacked and they're working that out and yada yada.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, at this point, they're based in Patreon and YouTube, so I don't really blame them for, you know, their website. But I wanted to find the pay-per-view buys for this, and I went, well, shit, I can't access that. That'll have it. I was unaware that these final ECW shows, the data for pay-per-view buys was never released.
Oh.
So we literally cannot compare at this point.
Wow.
How it's doing. That said, the last show is still did better than what WCW is doing right now. So
we can assume that it's still doing fairly
potentially.
Well.
I mean, like they had a good crowd for like the area and the venue. So
yeah,
there is still the interest, but yeah, ratings are a little bit stagnant.
Okay.
We start with a long ECW intro and Joey Styles and Joel Gertner welcoming us to the House of the Brewers, the Badgers, the Bratwurst, and the beer.
Oh, Joel Gertner.
We get a happy Mother's Day, and then a well, well, well. Emily, do you have Joel Gertner's line?
Oh, I do not. I'm so sorry.
Do you want me to read it? Do you want me to hand you my notes and you read it?
Hand it to me. I want to do it. From Milwaukee to Green Bay, all the Wisconsin ladies say that it's the highlight of their day. Oh, I forgot about this. When I shoot my nuts at their base and spray.
Joey Styles. Well, that pretty much sets the tone for tonight. Oh, God. Joel Gertner.
I don't really have much to say about him other than what the fuck.
What would you say to him if you met him?
I really don't know.
What would he say to you, I'm worried about?
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm not so worried about that part of it. Like, I always think about that with Kevin Nash. Like, if I were to meet him, what would I say?
Yes, I think a lot of us remember your last episode where you were just on an existential trip.
Yes, yes. Like, with him, I've thought about it a lot, but it never comes off weird of, like, his response to me. I don't know what Joel would say, but also, it wouldn't surprise me if Joel is all talk.
Yeah.
Like, if he actually had to say that face-to-face to a woman, would he crumble? I think yes.
Joey says the censors can go to hell because it's time for Hardcore Heaven, and then they just awkwardly shuffle to the back.
Yeah, they walk off, and it's just like weird vibes for just too long. Like, it's over 30 seconds.
Yes, they cover this later, but they are meant to cut away to something, and they just don't. I don't know if they didn't have the camera shot or what, but they just kind of like, okay.
Something's happening.
Yeah. But we go into our first match. It is Balls Mahoney versus Masato Tanaka.
This was another one that I was having a bonding moment with the bartender, is the Balls Mahoney song. But like he even looked at me, he's like, you know, his dub song just doesn't hit as hard as they've got big balls, I've got big balls.
So, Emily, I have to ask again, the Balls song, does it slap?
It grew on me. I still don't know that it slaps.
The Balls grew on you?
Shut up. I don't know that it slaps, but it's definitely
a banger. Oh, the Balls slap.
It's a banger.
The Balls bang?
Yeah.
Balls chugs a beer mid-entrance. We then get Cyrus suddenly here a commentary. Ugh. We got a chorus of you suck dick chants. Cyrus berates Joel Gertner to fuck him up, Chance.
Cyrus literally just, he does the same thing that David Flair did in our last episode, where Cyrus just looks at Joel and goes, I don't like you.
He also has Kanemura with him as like a big Japanese lad to back him up.
Okay, I could not get this person's name. They just kept calling him his goon.
I mean, he kind of just is, but yeah. Joel takes off his neck brace and tells Cyrus he should kick his fucking ass. So Kanemura chokes out Gertner, and it's like, okay, now it's time for the match. I'm like, why didn't we just do that first?
That's a great question.
We get a little handshake pre-match. Commentary notes that these guys have been partners before. I know we were talking about the One Night Stand 2005 card. I believe these guys wrestled on One Night Stand 2006. So I've definitely seen this match once before.
Wait, who wrestles? Balls Mahoney Balls and...
Yeah, Balls Tanaka.
Really?
Which, by the way, Masato Tanaka is still wrestling in 2024.
Good for him.
I think he's 27 here, so...
I thought you were going to say he's 27 in 2024. I'm like, what are we watching?
He's still going. I'd love to see one of his matches.
That'd be really cool.
I got to figure out where he's wrestling and all that.
Is he stateside or is he in like Japan?
I'm guessing he's in Japan.
Yeah.
Okay. I know because he was negotiating with ECW around this time and ended up re-signing with FMW. But yeah, I'd love to see what a Masato Tanaka match looks like nowadays because it's also kind of nice to know with all these headshots, he's fine.
Right.
Because the other two men he kind of is known for having these matches with, unfortunately, are dead.
Yes.
For vastly different reasons. They chain wrestle to start, and Balls locks in a single leg Boston Crab. Balls hits his balls punches, but...
He hits his balls.
But Tanaka hits a crossbody and then an arm drag. Joey notes that it's amazing that Tanaka is still wrestling at this point. And I'm like, dude.
You don't even know.
Four more years.
They're saying that about Ric Flair in WCW. You don't even know. The man legally died in his last match, and we're fine.
Balls catches Tanaka on a dive to the floor, and then slams him into the barricade. They throw each other around ringside and get onto the elevated ramp. Tanaka goes up the ramp and runs back for a jumping chair shot to Balls, and then a tornado DDT from standing on top of the chair.
I think I've decided, and nobody asked, I think I've decided that I don't like the elevated ramp.
Yeah, I
kind of like went back and forth on it. But in this show, I don't like it. And then it's in TNA shows, too. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it. However, I thought they used it well here. So it is some... that is the one thing. Like, if it's just there, it's like, what the hell?
I guess.
I don't know. It was also on Slamboree. I think it was last time like WCW used it.
Maybe,
they're
yeah.
usually not using it.
Because they usually don't. You're right. They have the ring steps.
They then lightsaber fight with chairs for a second.
I love that move. I don't know why, but it's so like cartoony and fun to me. I love it.
I think it's because they're like not even remotely swinging for each other.
No, they're just hitting the chairs together.
Unrelated, and I'm leaving this in.
Oh no.
There is a Star Wars lightsaber ad in whatever right now. It makes me so mad.
Oh my god. Okay, go off on your Star Wars tangent.
Because it's advertised like, hey, it's a special like kyber crystal lightsabers. And it shows like a dad and his two kids playing with lightsabers. And you know what they never do? Hit the fucking lightsabers together. They stop short on every swing. And I'm like,
oh,
that's not how people play with lightsabers.
No, they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, you swing as hard as you can. You better block. Star Wars has gone woke.
Wow. Can't show violence.
Oh, the lightsaber fight ends with Balls kicking Tanaka and then a massive chair shot. He doesn't go down until an even bigger third shot. Balls super kicks a chair into Tanaka and then grabs more chairs and just puts them all in a pile.
He just like stockpiles them in the middle of the ring.
Balls goes to power slam Tanaka onto them, but Tanaka hits a tornado DDT onto them instead. Balls ducks a roaring elbow, but Tanaka kicks out of a Nutcracker Suite. Great name.
Yes, I love all the Balls.
The Balls
jokes.
Lore.
The Balls lore.
Tanaka hits a diamond dust, but only gets a two. Balls catches Tanaka and hits a Nutcracker Suite on the chair, but Tanaka kicks out again.
There's like hella near falls.
Tanaka hits a big roaring elbow, but Balls kicks out of that. We then get a diving chair shot to Balls, and he's still standing. Another roaring elbow to Balls finally gets Masato Tanaka the pin.
Jeez.
Post-match, they hug. I really, really enjoyed this
match. This was a lot of fun.
I've been saying that Mike Awesome is my boy, and I'm like...
I think Masato Tanaka's
my boy. I think Tanaka's my boy. I think that... I'm like, oh shit, he's the common thread here. But then again, I also live for Mike Awesome just powerbombing the fuck out of Spike Dudley, so...
So I did tell the bartender that you loved Mike Awesome, and he's like, why? I was like, I don't know, man.
We go backstage. Lance Storm and Dawn Marie cut a promo on Just Incredible. He's the new ECW champion.
Wow. That's just incredible.
Yeah, so last time we watched ECW, Mike Awesome was still a champion.
Yeah, boy.
He lost it to Taz, who is employed by WWF.
Yes.
Taz lost to Tommy Dreamer at CyberSlam, which is like one of their like big TV specials, not pay-per-view stuff.
Interesting. Okay.
Kind of like how AEW does this now. I know you don't really know them all that well, but yeah, they'll do big, like, it's a pseudo pay-per-view kind of vibe.
Okay.
And so Tommy Dreamer won it there, and then before the end of the night, lost to Just Incredible.
Gotcha.
So Lance Storm cuts a promo on Just Incredible and tells him to enjoy his moment in the sun. And throughout this whole promo, Dawn Marie is just putting a little stamp on any little note.
I love Dawn Marie. I think I'm really growing on her. Like, she's great. I feel like I am her in this moment. You likened it to when we do the podcast and you're running through the, like, play-by-play of a match. And I just feel the need to, like, say a little, like, yeah, that was good.
Yep. Great.
That's me. That's Dawn Marie.
It should be noted here, they're like, it already seems like they're going to be doing a singles match. Like, not knowing the card ahead of time, I thought it was just going to be Just Incredible versus Lance Storm. It is advertised as a three-way dance.
So who is the advertised third?
Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, that was advertised.
Yes.
Okay.
Which makes the main event even weirder, but we'll get there.
Gotcha.
Let's go to match number two. It's Simon Diamond versus Mikey Whipwreck with the Sinister Minister versus Little Guido with Big Sal. Is Big Sal one of your boys now?
Little Guido is. I love Little Guido.
Oh, he's so good.
He's a lot of fun. But Simon Diamond, I can't say that normally.
He still has his weird entourage that you, every time you see him,
I don't understand the entourage. There's a fucking musketeer with him. I don't get it. And not only is there a musketeer with him, there is a musketeer who looks straight at the camera and mouths, "Hi, Mom." What is he?
Probably not employed in wrestling in 2024.
No! What the fuck? But, like, what a thing to have on your resume. That is such a good little fact for two truths and a lie. Come on. I was a musketeer in ECW in 2000.
So Simon has a problem. You all think I'm a comedy act, but no, I'm a blue chipper.
And we know this because he says it twice.
Simon's fancy boy introduces him with a local sports reference.
Go sports!
Little Guido comes out, we get a "Where's My Pizza" chant.
Like, I give ECW fans so much credit for having very creative and funny chants. That's not one of them.
Also, "Where's your pizza?" Fucking Big Sal ate it, man.
Did you order it?
No, Big Sal ate your pizza.
He ate your pizza.
He ate everyone's pizza.
Fuck your pizza.
They all go for their finish early, but all trade arm drags, and Guido eats a super kick.
He didn't eat a pizza.
Guido goes for a tornado DDT, but it gets turned into a head scissors on Diamond. Whipwreck hits a diving shoulder block, and then Diamond hits two suplexes and then a front falling one. I thought he was going for the full Three Amigos there. But not really a full Eddie Guerrero thing at this point.
He can't do a full Three Amigos because the fucking musketeer is ringside.
There is a woman as part of Simon Diamond's entourage. I don't know her name, but she does get "She's a Crackcore" chance.
Oh, I had her name written down. I can't find it. But yeah, when there's a woman ringside, of course there's going to be "She's a Crackcore" chance.
She needs to work on her brows. That was my one note for her. Lots of quick action, and then the lights go out in the ring.
So this,
like,
was weird.
Not in the cool ECW, something's about to happen. It was like, no, there's some sort of weird power failure kind of issue. So they end up going to a couple different spotlights to help light up the ring, but you thought it was cool. I thought it hurt the action.
I kind of thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that they kept going and the crowd, like, never even flinched.
Fair.
Yeah, like, they really just powered through. They didn't stop any kind. They didn't lose any momentum.
It is
I like that.
It is rare for that to happen in, like, mainstream wrestling. Tweet in if you have any other examples, because the only one I can think of is it happened at WrestleMania. I mean, WrestleMania 24, the one we reviewed where it's like Maria and somebody versus like Beth and Melina.
Yeah, I remember that because it was a match that neither of us cared about. When the lights went out, we're like, oh.
Yeah, and like Snoop Dogg's there.
Yeah.
They do a spot where everybody has to jump on Sal to take him down, and he's still like the first one to his feet. He takes out Simon Diamond's entourage. Guido hits a Brett's Rope Famouser, but then gets planted with a Spine Buster. Whipwreck super kicks Diamond, resulting in a Samoan drop to Guido. Whipwreck then hits the Whippersnapper on Diamond and pins him. And that was our reminder, oh yes, it's ECW. It is elimination.
Right. Confusing.
If you're watching their product all the time, it's not. It's like, that is very much a us problem.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
So we're down to two. We get a double underhook Dominator from Whipwreck, which gets a holy shit chant for, like, which one? It was impressive, but I'm like, this crowd literally saw a single move that just, like, kind of, you know, just a well-executed move, and they're like, holy shit, yeah, that was awesome.
Was it a holy shit chant, or was it a fecal chant?
Oh, yes. Guido then hits a side Italian leg sweep there. And I'm like, that's some,
that like got you so
that's some
good.
Shit I would joke about in the podcast, not like a legitimate thing.
I feel like you belong in ECW.
Granted, the best version of that will forever be the Sandman's white Russian leg sweep. I tell you that like every time and you laugh every time. Guido misses an elbow from the top of Big Sal as the legs keep kind of going in and out because they kind of get him back for a minute and then they go back out. Whipwreck then throws a fireball at Sal, but it mostly gets himself.
It backfires so hard. But Sal does such a good job selling that. Kudos to him.
Yeah, and Whipwreck really has to hold together that he can just burn his fucking face.
Yeah, that man has no eyebrows anymore.
We get an unprettier like move to Whipwreck and little Guido wins.
Go, Gweed.
This was a pretty good match, but admittedly, the lights going in and out kind of hurt it a little bit for me.
I mean, it hurt it in, like, a production value sort of way. I can't imagine how annoyed it would be in the crowd where, like, they already don't have Jumbotrons and now the lights are out. Like, I'd be frustrated, too. But, like, it adds to the ambiance. Like, ECW is supposed to be gritty and, like, have bad production value like this. Like, this is kind of what makes it ECW. So, to me, it doesn't take away from the experience.
I think it frazzled them just a little bit. But
just a little, but it never misstepped them.
It's still a good match.
The lights going out, I kind of liken to the fact that we watched this on a VHS rip, where it's just like a little grainy.
Yes.
Like, it adds to it. It adds a little spice.
Yeah, the more crisp I see ECW, the more I don't want it.
Right?
ECW on Sci-Fi, that shit was in HD. No one liked it.
Didn't do well.
Backstage, Justin Credible and the Queen of Extreme, Francine, is here. Oh, there we go.
Excuse me.
They're here to cut a promo backstage. Francine is just rubbing the kendo stick.
Phallically. She is fondling that kendo stick.
Credible says he took 7 years of hard work and he used it all just to get his new title. And tonight he's going to be the one to make an impact. And we'll see a champion that is just incredible.
Got him.
Now, Emily, I don't know if you're aware of this. That's his name.
Wait, what?
And Emily, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Relic.
Stop!
The wrestler, his name backwards, it's Killer.
You're going to upset our child.
As he flops, that is totally calm.
We should have named our dog Relic. Next one.
Commentary then plugs ECW.com's sexy picks and upcoming shows.
And the sexy picks are really just of Elektra.
No, there's more than just her.
It was Elektra later on in the show. Maybe this was a different one.
We get Lou E. Dangerously and his Dangerous Alliance coming out to the ring.
Fucking Lou.
Lou cuts a very cheap heat promo. His cheap heat is to the point where he, like, goes to say his name and, like, pretends the crowd is booing so loud he can't say it. Like, they weren't that loud for him.
They were loud, but they weren't that loud.
Like, not at the point of, like, cutting him off, because he does get shut the fuck up chants eventually.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that's what he was going for, where it was like, oh, they're saying my name, or were they just, like, booing?
I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of, like, you better not boo me.
Yeah, exactly.
Louis Dangerously hypes up Elektra as never having plastic surgery, never having to wear makeup, and is not just tits and ass. She's like the toughest woman in wrestling.
The never having to wear makeup, that line in particular got bullshit chants. I was like, damn, y'all clocking her.
Louis challenges anyone to come kick Elektra's ass, which prompts Jazz to come out. I guess they're still feuding.
I honestly forgot about Jazz.
She fights off C.W. Anderson and Billy Wiles and Louis. She then rips off Elektra's big jacket to reveal a t-shirt. Emily, did you know what t-shirt it was?
No.
It's a Mike Awesome t-shirt for added heat.
Oh my god. Is that the t-shirt that you got me that I'm not allowed to know about?
No.
Damn.
She does eventually get stripped of that to reveal a very skimpy bathing suit. The numbers game gets to Jazz eventually, and she eats a C.W. Anderson spinebuster. We then get Kid Cash coming out to make the way too late save.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, oh yeah, he's scheduled for this match. I'm like, what?
Kid Cash is one of those people that I completely also forgot about. Did I know about him? Was he on the last pay-per-view?
Yes.
Well.
Because we know that he looks like Kid Rock, which is entirely his gimmick.
Oh, okay.
So our match is Kid Cash versus C.W. Anderson.
Not a fan.
Ironically, I think this is my worst bit, so Otto agrees.
There you go.
Cash hits a Hurricane Rana, arm drag, and a dropkick to CW. He then hits a Hurricane Rana on the floor to Billy Wiles. Head scissor from Cash, and he goes for another Hurricane Rana, but Anderson counters with a powerbomb. Anderson slows it down with hammering forearms. And the Dangerous Alliance help keep Cash down until Cash runs up the ropes in the corner for a diving splash. Anderson regains control, hits a snap suplex. They trade some chest slaps and punches until a power slam from Anderson. Anderson crotches himself in the corner, and the Dangerous Alliance try to cheat, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen with Louis's phone. Anderson then goes up top, but gets stopped, and Cash hits a hard-looking top rope Frankensteiner and wins.
There was a point in this match where Kid Cash did a Hurricane Rana off the ring into off the ropes into the apron. I feel like that required just so much trust. Like, they came out of nowhere, and he didn't really like look to see if it was any kind of setup, and he just did it. And like, I don't know. Sometimes moves like that scare me, but it's also like I commend the wrestlers for being able to just like trust their people. He didn't hurt himself.
Yeah, this wasn't a bad match, but it just kind of didn't have anything going for it. Like, it just...
This is the first match that I was uninterested in.
Yeah, it felt like things happening.
Yes. Things happened, but nothing happened.
But again, not the worst match we've seen.
Definitely not the worst match. Just the least interesting in the first three, you know? It's been a high bar.
Backstage, Rob Van Dam, Bill Alfonso, and Scotty... Not Riggs are here. It's Scotty Riggs, but it's they can't use that.
Scotty Anton.
Yeah.
Anton?
Yes.
Anton.
Rob Van Dam tells Alfonso that his job is to blow the whistle, and I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I remember that. We all know how I feel about the goddamn whistle.
I forget what the line is, but Rob Van Dam says fuck, and he's like, and I can say that because we're on pay-per-view.
It caught me off guard. Like, not because of like, clutch my pearls, my heavens, my stars. But, like, I've gotten so desensitized to the word that I heard it, and I'm like, something you just said was incorrect, but I can't pinpoint what it was.
Rob is talking to Scotty Anton, who looks like he's very much about to turn on Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
Yeah. He is not into this conversation at all, and looks at him like, you motherfucker, you just wait. And I'm like...
There is some dissension and disgrace in the room with us.
The group does note that this is Rob Van Dam's big return match.
How long has he been out at this point?
About 3 months.
3 months? Okay. That's actually not that long. I thought it would be a lot longer.
Yeah, he relinquished the television championship and everything, too.
Yeah, the way that they, like, welcome him back, I thought you would have said, like, 9 months to a year.
So let's move into our match that really should have been for the ECW Tag Team titles, but isn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because the titles are vacant right now. I think they're trying to put over that Just Incredible killed the Tag Team titles.
Okay.
But it's DaBaldi's versus Nova and Chris Chetty versus Danny Doring and Roadkill.
DaBaldi's.
Commentary notes that Chris Chetty is the first result of the ECW training school, and Danny Doring's the second one, so it felt weird that they were highlighting so much that Chris Chetty's the first.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They brawl on the ramp to start, and then around ringside. Doring and Chetty clear the ring so they can face off, but are shortly cleared by DaBaldi's.
DaBaldi's. I'm sorry, that name is so stupid.
Roadkill hits a springboard double clothesline, and lets Nova hit a swanton bomb on one of the Baldies. I really like Roadkill.
Yeah?
The more I see this guy, I'm like, fuck, he's a big fucking lad who can do springboard shit.
He can move. He's a big guy, yeah.
Yeah,
he can
I'm
move.
Sad. He doesn't have much of a career after ECW. Oh.
He realized that was his out. He's like, man, if I want to keep my knees intact, maybe I go home.
Like, if Otis did springboard stuff, like, I get that kind of vibe.
Well, I mean, he does the caterpillar. No, but it's a move. Like, he moves. That doing the worm requires a lot of... skill. Like, you can't just get down and do the worm right now.
Yes, that's why he does the caterpillar.
You can't get down to the caterpillar right now either.
We get a dirt road slam from Roadkill, but he gets double flapjacked. DaBaldi set up two chairs and double chokeslam Roadkill through them. Nova drops both Baldies and Doring hits a diving elbow drop. We then get Vic Grimes coming out to distract Doring, who eats a guitar shot from Angel, and Doring and Roadkill are eliminated.
Remind me who Vic Grimes is.
Vic Grimes is the other person who fell through those tables with New Jack at the last pay-per-view.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, he's one of the other DaBaldi's.
Yeah, what a bummer. New Jack isn't on this show at all, huh? Yeah, what a bummer.
Roadkill, despite being eliminated, sets up Grimes on a table at ringside, and he hits a springboard splash from the ring onto Grimes on the table. DaBaldi's work over Chetty, but Chetty hits a spin kick, and Nova hits a cutter while hanging upside down from a tree of woe, and a spot I really like.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. Like, there were some really cool moves in this match.
Nova and Chetty hit a double dive called a tidal wave and win. And I'm like, yeah, this would have been nice if it had been for the tag team titles.
It would have had a little bit extra to it, but it was still a really fun match.
Yeah, admittedly, almost immediately post-match, DaBaldi's attack Chetty and Nova. So we get New Jack's music hitting.
What do you mean New Jack's music is hitting?
And it don't stop hitting. So New Jack beats down DeBaldi's and hits a staple gun shot and then pulls out a fork.
Where did the staple gun come from?
His trash can of stuff.
Why?
Bro, Jesus. Multiple fork shots to DeVito.
Where did the fork come from?
Angel has no part of this.
I hate it. There is so much blood so quickly.
Yeah.
Gushing blood. Not as much as the next match, but still.
New Jack throws DeVito into the crowd and they kind of disappear for a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's almost like this show is not set up to follow people into the crowd.
They kind of just walk and brawl until New Jack sets up a table and lays DeVito on it. And as he's doing this, the camera like pans up to be like, this is where he's about to go. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I saw it coming too.
So New Jack climbs up to a balcony on the second level.
Oh, no.
And then, like, casually shimmies across. And
like,
then,
on the tiniest little lip.
And then dives from the balcony through DeVito through the table. It was pretty cool.
It was so fucking cool.
I know. I hated it. I'm like, fucking New Jack. It was cool.
It was so cool. I was like, my note is literally, unfortunately, that was so fucking cool.
New Jack then heads back to the ring. Nova and Chris Chetty are holding Angel. The story is Angel is the leader of DeBaldi's and has been avoiding New Jack. So can't New Jack mocks playing guitar and then Jeff Jarrett's Angel. New Jack then grabs a chair, hits a diving chair shot to a down Angel and pins him?
Is this a match?
Even Joey Styles is like, yeah, count the pin,
count
I guess.
Count it, I guess. Nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah, they get some replays of both matches, I guess. This is weird to be kind of called a match, but
this is not a match. This is a beatdown.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're just like, let's just end this feud and
maybe,
yeah,
just call it.
Thoughts on, I guess, either of the matches?
So again, the match was really fun. New Jack coming out makes me nervous always. I don't like when he has fucking weapons. The staple gun's a fun.
He
new
always
gimmick.
Has the weapons.
The bartender said, "Oh, are you in New Jack's staple gun era?" And I said, "Excuse me."
That's, yeah, again, that's a lot of his era. He's like, I'm still in his fork era. Again, also a lot of his era.
The jump was really, really cool. I like this jump a lot better than the last jump. But how the fuck is he doing this? That's again, my question.
Yeah, remember how fucking hard he fell and he had the cracked skull like yeah. 2 or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
two
just
or three months ago. Not years.
He didn't keep doing the fork, which was nice. He kind of did it in the ring and then it was like, all right, we're done with that. So
true. It was just enough to really get the blood.
Then get another ECWWrestling.com plug. Commentary hypes up Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn and then finally explains, like, hey, in that opening segment, you were supposed to see Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, that was like, weird, wasn't it?
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him. It's like, oh, sure, bud.
Yeah. Joey explains that he saw a bloodied Tommy Dreamer, which is, and apparently someone in his ear was saying, like, get out of the ring, get out of the ring. And that's why they left as weirdly as they did.
Additionally, Tommy Dreamer was bloody because Just Incredible attacked him.
In response to this, Cyrus made the note of these technical difficulties. These wouldn't happen under Vince McMahon.
He says we were on TNN and he talked about like, yeah, like once WWF comes here, they won't have these problems.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's what he was saying. Because I wasn't following all the TNN drama.
So our next match, it is Steve Corino with Jack Victory versus Yoshihiro Tajiri, who I will just be calling Tajiri.
I didn't even know his first name. I love Tajiri. Love Tajiri.
Emily, unrelated to anything about this show, but just related to Steve Corino, do you know who his sister is?
Steve Corino?
Yeah.
No.
Allison Danger, you divvy knacker.
Not Becky Lynch.
No.
Like the actual Allison Danger. Oh, wow. That's funny.
Corino grabs a mic for some good old-fashioned racism. Oh, buddy, he hit some of this hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to reiterate some of the lines, but
good.
It's a lot of Asian stuff.
Yeah, but it's enough to get Tajiri to start the match and go up against him.
Well, he also,
right
like,
off the bat.
He also like starts being racist and is like, well, we don't have to fight each other, though. Corino says Tajiri made a big mistake not siding with the network. Tajiri kicks Corino in the head and then works him over in the corner, but Corino hits an enziguri. Corino counters a head scissors into a powerbomb. But Tajiri locks in the tarantula, but has to break it under weird ECW rules.
Ugh. Yeah, the tarantula always just looks so cool.
It does, but I'm like, there's no DQ. Why does it matter if he has to break it or not?
So that the match can keep going.
Yeah. They then go up the ramp. Tajiri hits another roundhouse kick and then a delayed brain buster. which was awesome and somehow results in Steve Corino being busted open. And I'm like, that's some WWE 2K bullshit of like random move to the head, not even the face, blood.
Blood.
And he
It's fucking... a lot of blood, though. Like, he hit him just in the right spot.
Tajiri does play to the crowd as Corino is blading. Tajiri then bites the cut of Corino and puts him in a tree of woe for a running basement dropkick. Tajiri then hits a chair shot and then wipes Carino's blood onto his chest.
It's gushing blood. Like, there are puddles already. It's insane, the amount of blood.
We get another tree of woe spot, and Tajiri sets it for a dropkick to a chair in Carino's face, but Jack Victory stops him, and Corino hits a superkick. Tajiri gets his feet up on a charge and then dropkicks the chair into Carino's face. Tajiri grabs table and sets it up in the ring, but then drop kicks the one edge so the other edge hits Corino. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was intense. That was so, like, I've never seen that before, and I thought it was so cool, but what, that would suck to take.
It gets holy shit chance.
Yeah, warranted.
Tajiri hits a springboard double clothesline, but gets backdropped back through the table by Corino. Corino's blading an insane amount here, and to the point where commentary's like, you know, he's an asshole, but holy shit, he's like...
Like, come on. There was one line, I think it must have been Cyrus that said it. He says, Carino's been like a father to Tajiri, and it's Mother's Day, for God's sake.
Carino hits a fisherman suplex after telling the crowd to suck his dick. He gets a two from that, and also a two on a Northern Light suplex. Carino sets up a table in the ring, and they trade position on an abdominal stretch until Tajiri locks in the octopus.
The octopus?
Yeah, so it's basically an abdominal stretch, but you are, like, fully in the air on your opponent.
Oh, I like it.
Sometimes there's a lot more, like, kind of head action going. AJ Lee would do this, too.
Oh, okay.
Jack Victory comes in to break up the octopus, so Tajiri missed him while still being in the hole.
Oh, my God. It was so clean and so perfect. Ugh. It was, like, a good miss, too.
Tajiri does break the hold. We get a power slam to Tajiri. Tajiri then hits a full, like, combination of strikes as the crowd gets hype. Tajiri lays Carino's head on the table and then roundhouse kicks it. Tajiri lays Carino on the table, hits a diving foot stomp through it and him to win.
Ugh.
I loved this.
This was a lot of fun, too.
Post-match, Kanemura comes down, beats up Tajiri.
This is where it all falls apart.
Tajiri tries to fight him off, but the numbers game gets to him. And Emily, who comes out to make the save? What Mad Lib comes out to make the save?
Well, let me tell you, baby, it's Dusty Rhodes, baby. Dusty Rhodes comes out!
He did! Why? He didn't wrestle in the last show. He wrestled Steve Corino in the last show.
But, like, was he anywhere slated to be on this show?
I don't think so.
Why is he here?
I don't know. Rhino then comes out to attack Dusty and Enter Sandman hits.
Ugh, what a good moment.
Before we get to that, yeah, this match...
This was such a fun match. This was so good.
This was such a great, like, Tajiri showcase.
I wish there was less blood, because there was so much blood. It was a little too much. But it was still so good. This is what you want from an ECW match.
Yeah. And hey, there was a racist promo, and the minority won, so points
so
there.
So it's worth it?
Well it wasn't, let me say all this racist shit, and then I win, brother.
Yeah.
It's not people like you don't get to be champion. But apparently now it's time for the Sandman versus Rhino for the ECW television title.
Sandman just looks so fucking like 2000 cool coming through the crowd, drinking a beer, cigarette hanging from his lips.
You did watch the Peacock version. I watched mostly the original rip. As cool as it was for you, it was even cooler with the actual music.
I did miss the entertainment. I was trying to envision it while I was watching, but still...
But also, Rhino looks fucking awesome here.
He does. I remember him kind of being played up to like look like a chump in WWE.
Yeah. He starts off strong, and then it's the invasion, so if you didn't start in WWF,
say less.
Fuck you. That said, how many fucking beers did Sandman pull out during his entrance?
Oh, yeah, commentary said something like he's going to be like wasted by the time he gets to the ring.
He's also like giving them to people. He's like pouring one down like somebody else's like mouth, and I'm like... How deep are your pockets?
He's a man. He's got man pockets.
Sandman's already bleeding pre-match. Match starts. Sandman tries for a cane shot, but Rhino beats him to the punch and then beats him down. The crowd's immediately distracted by something else.
I did not catch that, but that makes sense. Because it didn't feel like these guys were getting the a reaction that they deserved.
Sandman hits punches around ringside and hits a guillotine leg drop to Rhino hanging off the barricade. Kind of Rob Van Dam style, but not a corkscrew.
True.
Sandman puts a table in the ring and another table gets placed on the ramp. They keep it around ringside until setting up a table against the ropes on the ramp. Rhino sets up a chair but misses a running vaulting gore off the chair and crashes through the table.
Ugh. He who sets it up. We know this.
Sandman then pile drives Rhino under the table, laying flat on the mat, and then hits another one as Jack Victory comes out to interfere. But before he can get to the ring, the Sandman's wife, Lori, stops him with a cane shot.
Lori!
But then Steve Corino grabs Lori.
Go, Lori!
Sandman saves his wife, but Rhino blindsides him and then pile drives him on the ramp. Lori fully slaps Rhino, so naturally, he drags her to ringside and pile drives her from the apron through a table on the ground.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
So good, though. Like, horrible. Like, oh my God, can you imagine taking that? But so good. But the way that Rhino did that, too, it didn't even look like he was really protecting her.
I was going to say, Rhino's got them thick thighs. He's taking care
of
you.
Maybe that's true. It's thick enough that you, like, you will just be taken care of just by biology.
Rhino then puts her back in the ring, and his plan is to gore her through the table in the ring. He's setting up for the gore, and Sandman just knocks his fucking block off with a cane shot.
That's my wife, brother.
He manages to save his wife. He picks her up, turns around into a gore, through the table for the win.
That was also just a really cool visual of, like, yeah. Sandman bending down to be the hero of the day, picking up this frail, battered woman, and no, fuck you.
Also, good smart man. He lifts Lori up to actually, like, take the move himself.
Yeah.
And post-match, happy Mother's Day, you fucking bitch.
This was a wild match.
I'm like, yeah,
and
it's that moment.
I loved it.
Yeah, this was quick, but it did not waste any time.
No, it didn't.
It's to the point where the match felt like a little bit more of an angle, but I don't fault it for that.
I mean, there's definitely an angle in it. This was one of those that, like, it was a match that also had an angle. It wasn't an angle that they forced to be a match.
The fact that Sandman comes out to make the save before this, mm-hmm. I feel like if you didn't have the pin, it'd be the same effect.
Okay.
Like, I feel like the pin happening makes no difference here.
Maybe
that is not the story here.
No, it's not the story.
Rhino pinning Sandman. It's like, whatever. It's like, no, you've killed this man's wife multiple months.
I give Lori so many kudos, though. Like, she deserves every praise that we can give her because, like, she is not a wrestler, but she commits to the bit. She will take those hits.
So, Emily, I know all that violence against women got you nice and horny, so you can go look at our sexy ladies on ecwwrestling.com.
God bless Joey Styles, though, because Joey's too distraught to talk about these hot pictures of Elektra.
I really wrote him like, this has to be a rib.
He's like, I'm still thinking about what just happened to Sandman and his wife.
But also, we watch someone scroll on this site and go to, like, different, like, refresh and go to the next page for, like, a full 2 minutes. Like,
I imagine it's too Cyrus. Long.
We also then get the more future dates again. And commentary sets off our next match, but it's cut off by the ring announcer.
Jeez.
Our next match, it's a match we've definitely seen before. It's Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam with Bill Alfonso and Scotty Anton.
Not a bad match on paper.
No, they've had some excellent
Absolutely,
matches.
Yeah.
If you look at best ECW matches, top 10 probably is a couple of just these guys.
Yeah.
Commentary notes that Jerry Lynn is also returning tonight, and he's pissed that, like, no one cares as much because it's Rob Van Dam's return.
That does kind of suck for Jerry Lynn.
So, in short, I'm just going to say it. I don't care that you broke your elbow.
Good use of the vine, babe.
We get big welcome back chance for Rob Van Dam.
But nothing for Jerry Lynn. Fuck that guy.
I think he was only out for a month, to be fair. We get some quick chain wrestling leading to a stalemate as the crowd keeps going nuts for Rob Van Dam. The story of all their matches has always been, like, these guys are equals.
Mm-hmm. And they wrestle like it, too.
Yeah.
Like, they
but Rob
really
Van Dam
match each other.
Just keeps eking out wins. Rob Van Dam here. Is he a hunk?
Rob Van Dam is always a hunk. No, Rob Van Dam's a hunk. He's not really a hunk in 2024, but yeah, he's a hunk.
Lots and lots of even more quick action. Ends in a stalemate again. Lynn dodges a spinning heel kick, but a second one connects. Van Dam hits a handspring moonsault, and then he showboats for the crowd, so Jerry Lynn just dropkicks him in the back. It's like, fuck you, none of that. He also then hits a triangle dropkick, sending Van Dam to the floor, and hits a slingshot somersault plancha onto Rob on the floor. Van Dam crotches Lynn on the barricade and then hits a sidekick from the top of one of the guardrails. RVD drapes Lynn across the barricade and hits a corkscrew leg drop on him as Bill Alfonso holds a chair over Lynn's head.
Say what you will about this match, Bill Alfonso is not ruining it.
Yes. I'm wondering
if... He's not whistling as much.
I'm wondering if that's because they're fully committing to Van Damme being a face.
Maybe. That being said, though, there is one person in the crowd who has taken the reins.
So, admittedly, while we're talking about Bill Alfonso here, I do have a little bit of an issue with this match.
What's the issue?
It's Bill Alfonso.
Why?
Ron Rodan is meant to be the big conquering hero and is constantly getting help from an interfering Bill Alfonso. Like, he's not doing it on his own.
I guess that's fair.
Meanwhile, Jerry Lynn, who's meant to be a little, like, you know, pissed off borderline heel, is having to fight off a 3-on-1 attack.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, I was having a hard time, like, saying anything bad about Bill Alfonso because he was so, like, tolerable.
Lynn dodges a moonsault from Rob Van Dam from the barricade onto the hard floor, which prompts sit the fuck down chants.
We don't get these very often in these kinds of wrestling shows, but the sit the fuck down chants were for, like, the crowd. Everybody was on their feet, and it's a flat arena seating area, so the people in the back on the floor can't see shit. There's no Jumbotrons. It's 2000.
Back in the ring, front falling suplex from Lynn, and then a Brett's rope leg drop to the back of Rob Van Dam's head. Jumping DDT from Lynn, and then RVD avoids a tornado DDT, and a double clothesline from both men both put them down, which you know, lets them breathe for a second, and the crowd whips up into a frenzy.
Yes.
Yeah, we should be noted, there has not been a rest hold on this show so far.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
Because it comes up in the next match, and I'm like, fuck you.
No, I think that's why I'm enjoying the show so much, that it's not just stare down rest holds. Like, it's good. It's just, it's keeping my interest. It's keeping the energy up. Like, I've been enthralled in this whole show so far.
Fonzie throws a chair in the ring. We get a random springboard backflip to grab the chair from Rob Van Dam.
There is a lot of creative choreography with the chairs in this match.
This was not one of them. He literally just goes over, backflip, leans down, picks up the chair. He throws.
Why are we dancing around the chairs?
He throws it at Lynn. Lynn catches the chair and throws it right in Van Damme's face.
Ugh, so good.
Lynn tries to hit Alfonso and then ducks a Van Damminator and famousers Rob Van Dam onto the chair. RVD hits a spinning heel kick after getting his other leg caught. We get a rolling thunder onto the chair on Jerry Lynn. RVD hits a reverse atomic drop and then a running drop kick with the chair into the corner. Lynn counters a monkey flip and hits a throwing sunset flip powerbomb onto, like, with Van Dam's head, like, only hitting the chair. Lynn puts Rob Van Dam on the top rope for a massive superplex and then leg drops RVD on the middle rope on the apron and sets up a table at ringside. They both try to put each other through until Lynn hits a kind of lame bulldog through.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like a full culmination of all these spots. It was just kind of awkwardly done because you don't want to take a full face bump.
I guess, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, there's not a good way to do that. I feel like you're better off just doing, like, a back suplex.
Probably.
Even commentary is like, I don't know who got the worst of that.
Yeah, because, like, you don't always see, like, them both going through the tables. Like, it's usually who sets it up takes the bump. You don't see both of them taking the hit.
Yeah, or, like, Spike Dudley will do his, like, Dudley dog, but they take it at an angle where it makes sense. Like, they took it, like, long ways. Yeah. If that makes sense. Lynn accidentally hits a somersault senton from the apron onto Scotty Anton. And back in the ring, Lynn hits a scoop slam and Bill Alfonso crotches Lynn when he goes up top. Van Dam hits a diving Van Damminator with help from Bill Alfonso and then grabs another chair and hits a 5-star frog splash on the chair on Jerry Lynn.
At this point, Bill Alfonso is trying to be Jimmy Hart where he, like, lobs the chair into the ring and has his person catch it. Didn't work as well. Bill Alfonso did not throw it cleanly enough and Rob Van Dam did not catch it.
Was Bill Alfonso looking for some action?
No. He was too distracted.
His radio was tuned to a copyright-stricken station?
Yes. He was tuned to a redacted station.
We then get Cyrus leaving the broadcast table as Steve Corino and Jack Victory suddenly attack Rob Van Dam. Jerry Lynn does not turn heel here. He helps fight off the network. Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn then kind of, like, pose at each other, and Rhino just comes in and spears Jerry Lynn. It felt like he was missed his cue by, like, a half second.
But he was there, and he was like, this is my time.
Rhino then powerbombs Rob Van Dam and Cyrus taunts RVD on the mic, who manages to fight off Rhino with a diving sidekick, get a very sloppy Van Damminator to Cyrus. Lynn ducks a thrown chair and kicks Bill Alfonso. I'm like, good.
Good.
Stop interfering.
Get wrecked, nerd.
Jerry Lynn picks up the chair and eats a Van Damminator. RVD goes up top, but swerves Scotty Riggs Anton. gets on the apron and pushes him off towards the stage, and Van Damme lands very awkwardly.
This is another reason why I don't like those raised ramps.
In the ring, Lynn hits his cradle pile driver, but RVD kicks out. Lynn then hits another one onto the chair.
Quote, unquote.
I think Jerry Lynn's ass hits the chair. That's about it. And Jerry Lynn has pinned Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam.
Thoughts on this match?
It was a good match. It was a wild finish for an overall good match.
Yeah. This is another one that I'm like, this is a very good match. The interference all at the end got in the way.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have just done the Scotty Anton stuff and that would have been enough.
Like, I agree for the storytelling.
Trying to involve the network here, just it felt a little forced.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I don't like the endings where it's just like person after person after person. It's just chaotic for the sake of chaos.
Yeah. This is not their best match, which is really like, just because the bar is that fucking high.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is still a good match. Like,
I'd say seek it out. Like, it's a good match. Like, a lot of the matches on the show, I would say watch this show. Like, we still have one more match and then we'll talk about it overall. But like, there's very few duds on this card.
Yeah. Once again, we're saying how the show's being booked on the fly. This feels like one of those, just like, how many fucking matches is Jack Victory going to interfere in?
Yeah. He's just waiting in the wings. Like, can I go? Can I go? Can I go?
At commentary, Joey Styles puts over Jerry Lynn, finally beating Rob Van Dam, and then pivots to the main event, three-way dance. And Joey Styles notes that it's like, oh, after he was attacked, Tommy Dreamer could have taken his title match at ECW Heatwave. But no, he's going to...
But he didn't.
Yeah.
So we're here.
So it's time for Just Incredible versus Lance Storm versus Tommy Dreamer in a three-way dance for the ECW heavyweight title. Credible comes out, grabs a mic, and says, tonight it won't be a three-way dance.
Cool. Done. Never mind.
It's going to be him versus Lance Storm, or he's going to throw the belt in the trash.
Yeah, he starts making all kinds of threats, like things that he'll do if anybody other than Lance Storm comes through the curtains.
Which, the threat really only works when you're not in the arena already ready for your match and like...
Right.
Like, where are you going to go? Are you going to try to escape through the crowd? They will kill you.
Right.
They literally might.
It's the ECW crowd. They might.
Like, yeah, the story didn't work great for me here with that. So Tommy Dreamer comes out and security and Paul Heyman stop him. And Paul keeps reiterating that Credible has them by the balls.
What is he implying there?
So what it's meant to be is kind of related to the Mike Awesome thing, how Mike Awesome left with the title.
Yeah.
Implying that Just Incredible is going to also leave with the title and like the whole like lineage of that belt will be even more fucked and like the brand will be damaged beyond repair.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're going for. I don't think it works.
Okay.
The fact that you have to ask me.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think that there's just a lot of like in knowledge that is required to understand that storyline. Like you need to have been watching the show.
Yeah. And still.
But there was no package. So like somebody who missed that would have no idea.
Yeah. But even then, like this wasn't super hinted towards. Like this is very much a day of decision. Because at one point, this was almost going to be a four-way with Raven. And then maybe a three-way where Raven replaces Tommy Dreamer. And instead, they're just going to go with Lance Storm versus Just Incredible. Lance Storm comes out, Dreamer stops him, after a tense moment they shake hands, and I guess it should be noted, technically it is Lance Storm with Dawn Marie versus Just Incredible with Francine.
As Tommy Dreamer leaves, Paulie is kind of like screaming at him, and Tommy just kind of turns around and gives him a fuck you.
Yeah.
If you don't understand what's happening right off the bat, you're very confused in that moment. I thought it was cool, just, I don't know, I like Tommy Dreamer and Paul Heyman's rapport, but... I didn't know what was going on.
Tommy Dreamer at this point pretty much like starts taking over like running the show.
Yeah.
Paul doesn't show up for the next like 3 weeks of television. He's just dealing with other shit.
Well, good.
So yeah, the Impact players collide. They trade punches to start and Storm stomps Credible out of the ring and then won't let him back in. Storm clears the ring again, but eats a Singapore cane on a vault to the outside. And Lance Storm actually blades on this because at the time, Lance Storm had like went on record of like blading is stupid and I'll never do it.
I was wondering, because there was blood, and it didn't necessarily feel entirely warranted right yet, so I was wondering where the blood came from.
It was meant to be from the cane shot, but
yeah,
Lance Storm, like people are like, this might be his only blade job in his entire career.
Good for him.
Credible works over Storm around ringside and then sets up a table on the ramp. They trade chops until Credible gets his boot up on a charge. We get big We Want Dreamer chants as Credible grabs a hold, and I'm like, why? Dude, you're going to slow it down with a point where the crowd is getting ornery.
Oh,
what the fuck are you doing? Like, first wrestle of the night during the We Want Dreamer chance.
Come on.
Like, yeah, I mean, one, you meant to be a heel, but like, this is the worst moment to let the crowd sit and stew.
Yes, definitely.
Because they're not mad at you, Justin. They're mad at the situation.
Yeah, but like you're not helping it though. Like it's what does a rest hold solve?
Yeah.
Like you're just being an asshole.
Or you're trying to catch your breath, but you're not that far in.
But again, you're the only person in the car that has to stop and catch their breath. Go do some fucking cardio, man.
They trade big strikes until a thumb to the eye, and Credible grabs a hold again. I'm like, Jesus. Hurricane Rana from Storm, and then a springboard back elbow from the corner. Jawbreaker and a dropkick only gets a two, and they trade That's Incredible Temps, which is a tombstone pile driver, until Storm hits a Northern Lights suplex. Super kick from Credible, but Storm kicks out, and Francine throws a chair in the ring, which Credible sets up and slams Lance Storm's face onto. Credible hits a top rope crossbody, but Storm rolls through for a two. They both try for abdominal stretches until Storm hip tosses Credible out of the ring through the table. Storm locks in his single leg Boston Crab in a really smooth roll through.
Yes.
I fucking love single leg Boston Crab. He always rolls through so smooth. Ugh. Francine breaks it up, and then we get a catfight.
Because of course we do, because we have two women on ringside. Why wouldn't we have a catfight? This really bummed me out. Like, we've made it this far into the show. Why? We don't need this. Obviously, we don't need this.
Well, Justin Credible agrees, because he hits a That's Incredible on Dawn Marie, so Lance Storm pile drives him.
Ugh.
Credible counters a That's Incredible into one of his own as Dawn Marie casually gets carried out by security. Just like, not even a stretcher, just like, scoop.
Just a frail woman.
Storm kicks out of That's Incredible, and then they trade some wobbly punches until a Credible swinging DDT. And they kind of lose the crowd here. Like, they were building towards the finish, and it kind of was like, oh, we're taking a step backwards.
Yeah, they're kind of killing the end of the show.
Storm catapults Credible, but Credible stops a sunset flip for a two. Storm goes up top and is immediately crotched. Credible grabs Storm from the top. That's Incredible. Pin. Kind of a flat.
It was a flat ending.
Like, the crowd agreed. Crowd didn't react to it.
Yeah, the crowd, I don't think, was ready for it yet. It wasn't hot. It wasn't built up. It was like a flat ending to not only the match, but to the show.
Yeah, because, like, even after that, Tommy Dreamer runs out, hits like a single cane shot on Justin Credible. It's like, I don't think they're calling it that in the fly, but if you told me that was on the fly, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, send Dreamer out there to set him home happy. Francine begs off, he seemingly spares her, but this is ECW, so Death Valley Driver.
And she took it like a champ. Like, that was like, he seriously hit her with that. Like, that was not padded for...
I was looking at the Singapore cane on the mat, and I'm like, oh, fuck, she's going to land on that. Mm-hmm. That's going to suck.
But, like, she took that for realsies. I'm always impressed when women can do that. Like, I like the intergender stuff. I know that's controversial, but when she can actually take that bump and be good, like, it's impressive. It's more impressive.
So, yeah, the crowd's a little bit happy. Joey Styles plugs ECW Heatwave, which will be in mid-July. That'll be our next ECW show we're doing.
I have that shirt.
And that's the show.
Now, what a wild show.
I do have a theory. It's never been confirmed, but I have a theory on why this got changed to just Lance Storm versus Just Incredible.
Why?
This is Lance Storm's last night in ECW.
Oh.
He, like, I guess it wasn't advertised like that, but he's, like, fully saying his goodbyes after the show. And he will be in WCW, I think, within the month.
WCW?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I think they kind of realized, shit, Lance Storm's leaving. We never did the Impact Players Explode.
They just needed to finish out that storyline.
Yeah. I think they're just like, let's do it. And the fact that Lance blades for his buddy on his last night there, it's like...
That makes sense.
I don't know if that's for certain, but it wouldn't shock me.
No.
That said, the match itself...
Ugh.
Yeah. I think... Doesn't help that Lance Storm didn't really seemingly face turn on ECW television, so the crowd wasn't super hot for him.
This shouldn't have been the last match on the card.
Yeah.
There were so many other great matches. This just kind of, like, it was placed incorrectly.
Yeah, I feel like you could have done RVD versus Jerry Lynn last.
Yeah, that could have definitely been last. That would have hit harder.
I think that's the only one that really makes sense to do, especially with the ending.
They were claiming that the last three matches were all main events. It was a triple main event show.
Yeah, but do you want to end your show on Happy Mother's Day, you fucking bitch?
Yes, ECW wants to do that.
But thoughts on the show as a whole?
Way better than I was anticipating.
It was a breath of fresh air you needed?
Yes. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was intense. It was, you know, ECW. But it was like, it was fresh air. It was just, it was fun to watch. It was good. It was hardcore. But, like... We're in that era where it could have been terrible.
Yeah, ECW shows are such a mixed bag at this point, because they've lost so much talent. Like, if you go through most of the, like, former ECW champions, almost none of them are in the company anymore.
And I know that they're winding down, too. Not winding down, but they're on the outs.
Yeah, I don't really know what happens with them after they get canceled, because that's their big downfall, is that TNN cancels them, and then they can't find another network.
Yeah.
We'll be visiting them somewhat soon.
What's our next pay-per-view with them? Is it Heatwave?
Yes.
Nice.
That show is after Bash of the Beach 2000, so like there's no random pit stops between now and then.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm hoping at least the match quality can keep holding up. Because, I mean, I think it might help that we're not watching week to week, so it's like...
Yeah, it might.
We're just getting good quality matches. Like, what the fuck was the story for Balls Mahoney versus Masato Tanaka? Probably not much.
He's got big balls.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I guess relatedly on that note... It's time for Best Bit, Worst Bit, and MVP. Woo! Emily, what is your best bit?
I gave it to the Carino to Jerry match.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a lot of fun. I love to Jerry.
Yeah.
I really do.
I don't blame you for that. The random ending and all that just like took away a little bit for me. So I that was kind of the tiebreaker of I was between three and one of them was just a straight up fun match. And that's the opener. It's Balls Mahoney and Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
I think that's my best bit, but I wouldn't blame you for picking the Carino Tajiri or RVD Jerry Lynn. But
the Balls Mahoney match also just set the tone for the show so well.
Yeah, I get the same vibes from that as I did, like, God, way back. It was literally the first ECW show where it was the Dudley Boys versus the Eliminators, where it's just like, ooh, Here's some fun shit.
Okay.
Emily, do you have a worst bit on the show?
It's not really a bit. I don't really have a worst bit, but just the idea that New Jack is here. I hate that.
I mentioned mine before. I'm going to go with Kid Cash versus CW Anderson. It's not horrible, but it's just so nothing. And it kind of like,
yeah,
it kills a little bit of momentum in the show, I think. And then Emily, who is your MVP?
I gave it to Mrs. Sandman.
I figured.
Lori is such a champ. I love her whenever she comes out. She commits to the bit so hard.
Too.
I know I did because I love her. She deserves it. Who did you give it to?
My MVP is almost like an honorable mention for best bit because I gave it to Jerry.
That
he
makes
was
sense.
So
yeah.
Fucking good.
Oh, so good.
Because like, look, Steve Corino can wrestle. We like we know this, but like that match is all about to Jerry, and I loved it.
It's a masterclass.
Oh, but that's gonna do it for this trip to the land of extreme.
I think we've tuckered out Mr. Otto.
Yeah.
A little too extreme for him.
Too ruthless.
Far too ruthless.
But next up, we are back in WCW.
Oh, I don't want to go back.
So, Emily, I'm sorry, but yeah, there's a lot of shows to go for the next pay-per-view, and there's still a lot of Nitros left.
Oh, my God. Somebody asked us recently on one of our social medias, like, what are you guys doing after this? I'm like, we've thought of things, but we still have so much time.
Yeah, for the record, based on our current schedule, WrestleMania 42 takes place right around February of 2001 in the WCW timeline. So,
jeez.
Yeah, we still got about 2 years.
We got so much time, guys.
Yeah.
So much time and so much content. Don't you worry.
But yeah, patreon.com/buttsintheseats. You can follow us on all the social medias at Butts in the Pods, at Facebook, Butts in the Seats Podcast. All our back catalog is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's on most places where podcasts are found. I am actually currently working on YouTube now has like a podcast thing because Google Podcasts has gone away.
Oh, good.
So I'm looking into the options of just uploading that as a podcast versus in like doing videos. But I'll keep everybody posted on that as we kind of get there.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Butts in the Seat podcast. Emily, any final thoughts?
I got nothing. This was fun. I don't want to go back to Nitro.
It'll be fine. It'll be ruthless.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be a goodbye from me, Nick.
And goodbye from me, Emily.
And I guess probably a bye from Otto.
He is waiting for us to wrap this up.
For this episode of the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.